I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Marilyn Jenkins. She is a digital marketing veteran with over 16 years of experience. She's the founder of MJ Media Group and Law Marketing Zone. You know, I'm looking forward to this conversation because as a marketer, I've never known how to market legal. And, you know, even personal injury, I have a better idea, but not a great idea. And so I'm looking forward to this conversation. And her expertise lies in leveraging paid advertising and SEO, particularly for optimizing Google business profiles to propel their business. Not only that, but she wrote a book on it. It's called the Google Business Profile Training Guide. And so this is going to be an interesting discussion. Marilyn, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So you said something a couple minutes ago. You said that you went remote 25 or 28 years ago?
Yeah.
What year was that?
1997.
Okay. So let's put some context around that. I mean, because it's so easy to say, oh, yeah, okay, went remote. How incredibly hard that was. I mean, so you went remote either before or about the time the original iMac came out.
Yeah, we were DOS-based machines. Well, yeah, there was no meeting platform, but, you know, all on the phone, that sort of thing, and emails and message boards. Yeah, it was an interesting time.
Well, and the reason I cite the iMac, where the I mean, everybody's like, oh, yeah, anything with Google, it prefaces it with I. But the origin of that, the iMac, was internet. And if you remember back to the iMac, it was, you can connect to the internet in 30 seconds or something like that. That was the value proposition of the iMac. You know, just plop it down, plug it in, and you're on the internet. And they even ran commercials comparing how long it took to get an iMac on the internet versus a PC on the internet. And so today we just take it for granted. I mean, we're connecting over Zoom right now and talking. We just take it for granted that, hey, you get online and you do business with people across the country. But in 97, that was not the assumption.
No, I mean, it was interesting. I did, I was in outside sales, so I didn't have an actual office, brick and mortar office I would go to except once every quarter. And it just made working from home great. You could do everything, you know, emails, that sort of thing, sending messages and then phone calls. So it was really nice. And then to see the change, you know, it's like when COVID hit and we all went to Zoom. Well, those of us who knew about Zoom and that sort of meeting platform had been on it for years. It's like finally people picked up on it.
Yeah. What would you say? What would you say were some of the lessons that you learned in 97 that still apply today?
Discipline and organization. That's something I find that people have a difficult thing getting their head around. A, working from home was not something that a lot of people did. And it's too easy to be distracted by other things. And so, and a lot of people still find that a big stress issue. So I think being well organized and disciplined and time blocking was huge.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, that's something I struggle with. You know my story. You know, I almost checked out of this world and I still struggle with fatigue. I still have a little bit of fatigue. And so it's easy for me to say, oh, geez, today is one of these fatigue days. I'm going to take it easy. But in some ways, that's just kind of copping out. And it messes up that discipline and that organization that you're talking about. How, for people working remote, how do you tackle that?
I have specific hours that I'm at my desk, and I don't, give myself cause stress or anything if I want to take a break. But I'm also not one of those that'll go, okay, there's something on TV, I'm gonna, take a break and watch TV or something. I keep specific hours that I'm gonna work. And then outside those hours, I may have a project I'm working on and I'll work on it. And even on the weekends, it's not like I work 7 days a week, but on the weekends, if I've got something I want to do, I will do that in and amongst other things I'm doing. But having specific hours that you plan to work makes a big part of the discipline, and do it every day, 5 days a week. Don't give yourself, unless you're taking a whole day off, be just disciplined about when you're working and what you're doing. And when you work for yourself, with nobody around telling you the things you do, you need to have a to-do list or a time block or something like that that's going to help you stay on track.
And what's interesting is that's a little bit at conflict with what a lot of people talked about during COVID. They say like, oh, COVID, I'm basically working all the time. I'm gonna go off and walk the dog at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. and then I'll be back at my desk. But I'm gonna be checking in. So what you're describing, and I'm not objecting to it, I'm just intrigued by the contrast. It's a lot different than the way that I heard people talking about working during COVID. And I'm wondering what's your take on that?
If I had a dog like I had in the past, I would take the time to take a walk. What working from home and being disciplined does for me is, if I'm stressed out, if I'm in a spot where I can't get the answer to what I'm looking for, say I'm working on a project and it's just not coming, that's when you get out and take a walk. Take a break. And by working remotely or working from home, I have the flexibility to go walk around the block. Go walk to the park and back and just clear your head, and it resets your mind, and you can come back and solve the problem. If I was in the office, it would be more difficult to do something like that.
Well, as you were describing that, my mind flashed back to when I first moved to Austin and I was working in an office. I wasn't working for myself, I was working for someone else. And there was a period of time I was going through a divorce and I would get into work and my mind would get all cluttered and in a bad spot. And I would get up, I'd walk outside and I'd do a couple laps around the building. This is Texas. It was 104. I'm walking around in. Back then I was wearing wool slacks to work and in a dress shirt, and I'm out walking around in 100 plus heat in Texas, and I do a couple laps, it would clear my head and come back in. So that's a principle that, at least in my life, works working from home, but also works working in the office.
Well, it's a good thing to do. I mean, people just don't think that much about, when I was growing up and actually working in an office, you weren't allowed to just get up and take a walk unless it was break time or lunchtime, because you had supervisors and that sort of thing working with you, watching over you. But we have freedom and flexibility, and I think that taking a break is, I went to college as a computer programmer. If you got stuck on something, taking a break was the way to get through it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think that may be, I worked, I worked for an engineering company at the time. And so maybe that's just something more that there was an understanding in that culture that that's how you do things. So, what advice based on, what you're doing now and just, over 28 years of working remotely, what tricks have you found? Maybe tricks is not the right word, but basically methods that you found that work really well for managing a team that's also remote.
It was a little bit difficult to. I used to hire for a position, and now I hire for personality and train for the position. And I find if you find the right personality, it's easier to delegate and give responsibility. So if you're going to give somebody something to do, you have to give them a responsibility to get it done and accountability. So I've found that finding that particular type of person, whether it's an integrator or a dreamer or whatever, you want someone creative or you want someone to actually, in operations, hire the personality and then train them to what you want. But at the same time, empower them with education. And share books with them and bring them along with you and with your company's journey.
Yeah. And I think that's so key. You know, to this day, I still see people that hire based on experience. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want, you know, there's a lot of different people that run their businesses, and I don't want to be critical of someone else, but at least in my experience, I'd much rather take the approach that you're describing. Hire the personality, hire for things that you can't train.
And that's what I've learned over the years. I've hired for positions, I've hired for experience, and I find that those people last less time because it's just not the same. You know, I need someone that's, you know, we have great team meetings over Zoom. We have a meme wars channel in our Slack channel that we, you know, so we it, there's some lighthearted part to it, but I like the kind of people that can enjoy their day. We all work remotely, so you've got to keep that attention going. You've got to keep them motivated. And they need to feel a part of the team, and that's what we do. And I think the education part, you know, udemy.com, where you can buy courses on almost anything. Every 6 months, probably, I gift courses on anything they want, so not just business. And it's interesting the choices that they make. So, you know, it's what's one of those things, just bringing them in, making them feel part of the team. And like I said, if they're the right personality, training them's a breeze. We have SOPs for everything. And when anything new comes up, there's a written and recorded SOP for it.
So then the next question is, how do you identify the right personality?
There's a few like assessments online that you can do. And so we do that sort of thing, you know, the personality assessments, have them do a couple of those. And then the interview process goes, once you have all that information, the interview process goes really, really easily because you know the type of person you're talking to.
Can you recommend an assessment?
Yeah, let me. I didn't. Yeah,
Sorry, I
I
didn't
have
mean to
these.
put you on the
Yeah,
spot.
there are a couple that are there are a couple that are free. If I can remember that. Yeah, give me just a second.
You know, while you're pulling that up, I'm going to brag on one of my employees. There's somebody who works for me named Elena. And when I saw her resume, I was blown away, and it had nothing to do about the experience.
Yeah.
Elena was born in St. Petersburg, Russia, and she moved to the US when she was 13. And I don't know a lot about raising girls to be, women, but I know one thing is age 13 is a critical year. If you want to have many years of counseling in their future, do something drastic at age 13. And for her, she moved from Russia to California. She left her friends, she left her school, she left her language, she left her culture, she left everything that she knew. And she moved to California at 13. And I looked at that resume, and I was like, okay, if I meet her and she seems, confident and adjusted and stable, I'm going to hire her. Because what I saw in that was, here's somebody that you can put in unknown circumstances
And they thrive.
and they thrive. And that's exactly who she is. I mean, and one of the stories I love to tell about Lena is she came up to me one day, this was years ago, and she started talking, and I was listening. And once she was done talking, I said, okay, let me see if I have this straight. There was a problem. You identified the problem, you fixed the problem, and you're just here giving me an update, and you don't need anything from me. She said, yes. I'm like, bless you.
Yeah, that's the kind of team you need. One of the two things that we do is Crystal Knows, and that's the Crystallizer app, and it's a quiz, and that takes them through an assessment. So that's one of the big ones that you can find out what time, and it determines if they're an integrator or a visionary. And as you know, you need both in a business, but an integrator, you want to do your operations. That's going to be your client-facing person, someone to do your admin, different things like that. People that can take it and detail-oriented. Visionary would be someone I would lean more towards being the creative type. So that would be your social media designer, video editor, that sort of thing. And so those are the types of things we look for.
Wow. Yeah, excellent. And so as you've done that, what's been, if you could just highlight maybe one challenge that you've had and how you overcame that.
Taking notes, realizing and taking full responsibility. You know, it's like the book Extreme Ownership. You just have to own the fact that you hired the wrong person, and hire slowly, fire fast. Because,
Yeah.
yeah, one, the if you hire the wrong person, they can so quickly infect everyone else. So, you know, hire good people, hire the personality you want, train them. They're all good team players. But if you bring someone in that you shouldn't have or that doesn't work out, you need to get rid of them as quick as you can.
Wow. And that can be hard. I mean, that's emotionally hard. You know, I think one of the hardest things any manager has to do is to fire somebody.
But you can't get emotional about it. I mean, it's like if they're not working out, and I have very seldom fired anyone that didn't say I saw it coming. And if someone says to you, I'm not surprised, you should have fired them before. They knew it was coming. They were just riding the paycheck. You know, they know they're not bringing it. You can tell whenever you've hired the right personality, they are asking for more information to do, more things to do. They're seeing and finding ways to help you. You know, and I'm open to ideas when it comes to our team. If we're doing something new or send them through the SOPs and say, okay, can you see a way of doing this more efficiently? How can we serve our clients better? How can we provide a better service? How can we make our clients more successful in what we're doing for them? And take their input. You know, I'm not the only one with great ideas in my company.
You know, something I've spent a lot of time listening to Steve Jobs. Just I admire him as a marketer, less so as a person, but I admire him as a marketer. And that's one of the things that he said a lot. He's like, we don't hire people to tell them what to do. We hire people so they'll tell us what to do. You know,
Well, I
and
think Henry Ford even said, I don't have to have all the information. I don't have to know everything. I hire people to know things.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I am open to ideas and suggestions, and you know, we work together as a team to serve our clients better.
Yeah. Well, let's pivot a little bit because you work in an area of marketing that I've looked at as a marketer, and servicing law firms. And every time I've looked at that problem, I come back, walk away saying, I have nothing. I have nothing to offer these folks. You know, I don't know how to market them. You do. So I'm really intrigued. What do you do for lawyers?
The most of our clients we're doing paid ads for, and so we can do get their branding out there, get their appeal the right wording and creatives to their ideal clients. And we also work with their websites and their Google Business profile. So we work on an omnipresence kind of online marketing for their internet marketing, just to get them everywhere where when people have a need, they will think of them and call them or click on an ad. Or visit their website or the Google Business profile.
Well, and that's part of the challenge with it is, so I've lived in Austin for 20 years now, approaching 20 years. And in the 20 years, I can think of four, maybe five times I've needed a lawyer, and it's been a different type of lawyer. You know, one time I mentioned I was divorced, so one time it was a family lawyer. Couple times it was contract lawyer. More recently it was litigation. I was being defrauded by a healthcare company. And so the part of the challenge is, the is it's so infrequently that I need somebody with those specialties. It's not like you can run an ad and all of a sudden I realize, oh, I need to call a lawyer. So what's the key to marketing and in that space without spending a fortune?
I think it comes down to the tracking. What, cookies, of course, are going by the wayside, but it's people that are doing research and they're going to Google for certain information, and they're, which is where everybody does their searches when they're looking for something. Look at market share. And being able to see, okay, this person is doing some research about a divorce. Maybe they've joined a divorce group on Facebook, or they've just been talking about that. Well, those are the type of people that we can get the ads in front of. There's still a tremendous amount of tracking out there, whether it goes across additional websites or not. If you're looking at these things, we can get ads in front of you. So the key is to have something visual that they will, if it's on Facebook and Instagram, visual that they will respond to.
Okay, you just said something really important. You said cookies are going away. Okay, what does that mean and why does it matter?
Cookies are like, so say you go to Amazon, you look up a coffee maker. Now, every website you go to for the next week, that coffee maker shows up. That's a cookie. You've been cookie that you looked at this coffee maker, right? So according to Google and Meta, they're going to go away with cookies. Cookies are not going to be around anymore. And so Facebook and Meta have instituted this API tracking so that you can optimize based on what people are doing through your pixel. So you can still track them. You can still see what people are doing and get your ads retargeted in front of them. So the cookie concept is still there. Between Google and Facebook, the information is there. And if someone has gone to, I don't know, any sort of thing that relates to divorce or family law or whatever, that's cookied on their computer, unless they've immediately cleared their caches afterwards. So when they go to Google, the ads that are going to come up on their search or their questions are going to relate to their recent searches. And if that's a divorce lawyer near me, that divorce lawyer near me, if they've got the best bid, will be in front of them. And if they've done a really good job on their Google Business profile, they'll show up on the map pack within the local area for them, those people to call, text, look at the directions, go to the office.
And so what's the Google Business Profile?
Most people know it as the Google My Business. And that's what it was named. It's gone through, I think, seven iterations since it first came into being. And each time, more and more features have been added. So if you think about the yellow pages and Google's importing the entire yellow pages and making an individual business listing for each one, that's kind of what it is. So instead of everybody having either a non-bold line, a bold line, or a display ad, everybody has the same. It's free. So it's Google's directory of businesses. So you go in and you fill it out completely. You add your products and services. You update it periodically with something, whether it's a photo, a video, a question and answer. Show Google that you are engaged with it. And if you're running Google Ads, your ads will have better weight. If you're not running Google Ads, and you keep your engagement in it, you could outrank your competition in the map pack. And in that little three map pack, so when you look at a Google search result now, the top three are ads. The next three is that map pack. That map pack is free. They're throwing in ads here and there now, recently. But that three is the people closest to you that relate to your search. And you want to be one of those three.
So it's kind of like the modern version of the Yellow Pages.
And what a
So,
lot of businesses think it is just a place to store reviews, and it's so much more than that.
with the Yellow Pages, the way you got found in the Yellow Pages was two ways. One, you buy a big listing, which I guess would be the paid ads. The other way was you named your company, AAA Lawyers R Us. So you were at the front of the Yellow Pages. So obviously, naming your company AAA doesn't work with Google Business Profile. What do you need to do to be found with that?
Well, the first thing is complete the listing. So you need to claim it. Okay. So if you haven't claimed your business profile, you need to claim it, and then you'll have to verify it. And that verify it could be a postcard. It could be a requirement for a video for you to show that you proof that you are that company. And once you claim it and verified it, now you fill it out. Put everything on it. Even if you're a plumber or a baker or an attorney, put your services on there. If you sell a product, put your product on there. There's a Q&A section. If you know that every client has, every potential customer has, say, the same five questions, those are FAQs. Put those on there. Update photos. So you want to give it as much information as you can and periodically add information again. More information, more photos, more questions, more services, so that you're constantly using it. And Google sees that as engagement. And even if you have less reviews than your biggest competition, it's potential that you'll be higher up in the map pack because you're more engaged with your Google Business profile than they are.
Well, Marilyn, that is good advice. And also on the remote, it was really interesting when we started talking and realized that you went remote way back before the internet was really, I mean, it was there, but it wasn't really in its full form. And so this has been packed full of valuable lessons. And thing I like is that you've shared some principles that are kind of timeless. The medium can change. The principles that you shared apply regardless.
Yes.
So, what's the name of your book again?
The Google Business Profile Training Guide.
Okay, and where do people get that?
You can go to maximizeyourgbp.com. And just for your listeners, I've created a coupon. They can get the book for only $5. And the coupon code is the number 5 leaders.
5 liters. Excellent. And how do folks find you?
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all the platforms, but mostly on LinkedIn. I work business to business, so you can find Marilyn Jenkins, MJ Media Group, or Law Marketing Zone at on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Well, Marilyn, thank you for being on Leaders and Legacies. This has been interesting.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.